Hey guys, welcome to The Avenue with Zara Chanel. I'm your host. This is episode number 10. That's a little milestone. We can celebrate number 10. We're following through. We're doing this for real. I just started an Instagram for the podcast, and it's The Avenue ZC. Just check me out. And it's not just podcast promotion. You know, I have some quotes. Of course, I have to have some inspirational quotes, some funny stuff. Self-reflection, motivation, of course, because it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. It's a movement. I feel like that's a DJ Khaled line, but yes, it's a movement. And as I minister to you, I minister to myself. We all have to get ourselves together. It's a new day. We're getting older. We need to get our money together. We need to get our lives, our bodies, our health, everything. We need to get it in order. When you know better, you just have to do better. I mean, and what are you doing right now? You're sitting on the couch, ain't you? But you know what? You don't even have to get off your couch to do something. You can make things happen from your cell phones nowadays. So pick up your phone, stop stalking your ex, and you know, make some money moves. Okay, but hold on. I'm coming in too hot. I'm coming in a little too hot. I have to calm it down. We're not even 2 minutes in, and I'm already going in. How was your week? Let's start there. How was your week? My week was great. Still doing the school thing. I signed up for some student government mess. I don't know why I did that, because all I see those kids around there doing is like passing around sodas and setting up events. And you know, I just honestly, I don't know if I'm in that space in my life where I want to be involved in things like that at school, because I have so many things going on outside of school. I didn't see myself like outside of the school setting up a volleyball tent or something in that, you know, for the students to play with, I guess. But I mean, who am I to act like I'm above doing something like that, right? I'm not. I say all that to say, when I'm not in school, I pretty have my day lined up. Like everything is dot, dot, dot. Come home, eat, go get my son. Come back home, let him use the bathroom, go get my other kids, come back home, sit down for a few minutes, cook. Like, everything is just planned out like that. It's not like I have a lot of extra time for social things like that, right? But I did sign up, so I'm obligated. I just got a text, a group text, and there's a meeting tomorrow. And I'm going to go to that meeting with a big smile on my face. I'm going to be happy and motivated. God has shown me, God has revealed to me that he wants me to be an example to others. So there are going to be times where I'm going to do things, or I'm going to deal with people that I don't necessarily feel like doing, or people I don't want to deal with. But I have to go into these situations with a smile. And there are times where before I walk in a door, I put a big smile on my face and I say, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus be acting right now? So I put a smile on my face, walk in the door, and I handle that accordingly. And not only foreign situations, sometimes I need to do that when I walk in my front door. Let's be real. You know, something may have happened and I'm walking in the door, and as soon as somebody says something about me, I'm just ready to snap. You know, my husband walks up to me trying to give me a hug, and I want to stab him. You know, that's not right. My energy is off, so I need to be the example. They need to see him in me. So snapping cannot always be the way. It shouldn't be the way. I said it cannot always be the way. You tripping, girl. Snapping should not be the way to deal with your family members. Because honestly, that's only going to want to make them not want to be around you. And you're going to, years from now, you're going to look back and be like, damn, why don't they mess with me like that? It's because every time they was around you, you was flipping on them. Because to be honest, like most of the time, kids don't really understand why we're so angry with them. Kids don't understand that you had a bad day at work, your boss, you know, kids don't understand why you're in a bad mood all the time. They just don't. And personally, I've had to tell myself, I don't want my kids to look back and have a vision of me of somebody who is just sitting around looking depressed or just evil. Like, I don't want my kids to remember me that way. So recently I was scrolling through the gram and I had read a post on Kirk Franklin's page, and he was talking about one of his teachers that he had. I think it was a music teacher. But what he basically said is that she would let him come into her room and just do what he wanted to do. and he had ADHD. So he said that was like the only time in the day where he didn't feel like he was dumb or a failure. And I thought about that, and not that I don't talk down to my children, but I do get on them a lot. I try to correct them a lot, and I felt like, okay, well, I don't want my oldest son, I don't want him to think I feel like he's dumb or that he's a failure, because in a child's mind, I could see how he could take, you know, the things that I say to him in that way, because I'm always telling him, no, stop, do this, do that, or why do I always have to tell you to do that, you know, this, that, and the third. So I asked him, I said, you know, does mommy make you feel this way? And he's like, yes, sometimes I do. And that just made me feel awful. So, you know, of course, I had a long talk with him, and I told him, you know, I do not feel that way about you. I could never possibly think you're dumb, first of all, because you are so smart. You are articulate. My son is so smart. Like, talking to him, it's like talking to, I'm like, whose kid are you? Where do you even get these words? Like, how do you even put these sentences together? Like, sometimes he says things, and I'm like, how do you even know what that word means? He's like a little genius. You know, so I had to tell him, like, no, you are too smart for me to ever think you're a failure. I think nothing like that. You know, I try to, and I told him some positive things about himself. And I'm hoping they stick, but sometimes the positive things don't stick. We know that the negative things, that's what stick. So, you know, let's all just try to be mindful of what we say to the children. Excuse the sirens, but we in the hood now, baby. Let's be mindful of the things we say to the children, because I'm sure we have a complex from things somebody said to me back in the day, to us back in the day. I remember when I was in summer camp, and I had to be about 7 years old, and I had this counselor, this grown-ass man who would always make fun of my forehead. Like, he would, whenever I would look at him, he would, like, pat his forehead and tell me I had a big forehead. So, one day I called him a fat pig. I just couldn't take it anymore because he used to bother me every day. I called him a fat pig, and I got sent to the office, and I had to sit in the office for the whole day. But just from him, like, torturing me, child, I just stopped wearing a bang. Yeah, so when I went natural in, like, what, 2008, I stopped doing perms. But before then, honey, I always had to have hair in my face. I had to have a swoop, a bang, a braid, something hanging down over my forehead. And this is something that somebody told me as a child. And I do have a big forehead, honestly, but ladies, sometimes we really don't be fooling nobody. This little swoop of hair, the little swoop don't be covering nothing. Everybody still knows you have a big head. But I love my kids. They are amazing. They're all smart, and they all are so unique. They all have their different personalities. My sons, they work me overtime, though. They just do the most. I have a 3-year-old. And then I have a 10-year-old son, and they just do the most all the time. The 3-year-old is like the Tasmanian devil. The 10-year-old used to be, but he got older, and he started to put a little weight on himself. So he calmed down a little bit, but he used to be Taz. And then my daughter, she's 6. She is like a little angel. Sometimes I just look at her, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can't believe, like, I gave birth to you. She's gorgeous. She's sweet. She just follows me around and just tries to do everything I do. It's so cute. But children, they will definitely teach you to be patient. Before I had kids, I was hot gal pon the corner. Like, I was a hot mess. I used to just strut around town, you know, trying to get phone numbers to make me feel good about myself, because that was self-validation. That's a whole nother podcast. That's a whole nother podcast. Let's not get into that. But before, yeah, I was very selfish. It was all about me. I managed my money poorly. I don't know what I was doing in those years. It was like a blur. Like, I was working, going out, eating good, eating wherever I wanted to eat, not worrying about, you know, the amount of money I was actually spending on food. But side note on that, I have verified that we never went to restaurants when I was growing up. We never ate out. We always ate at home. So when I got old enough to pay for my own food, it was just like I was going like every other day. I was eating out. I just find that so odd, because my kids have been to so many restaurants. They're not spoiled, though. they're not the kids that if you take them in the store, they expect you to get every, toy off the shelf because I say no. Sometimes they have their own money. They might have like $5 or so, and I let them buy, their little, I don't know what this crap they spend money on, but like Pokemon and little, I don't know, but I let them buy their own stuff with their own money. But I'm definitely not gonna go in the store with my kid and buy them everything they ask for, and they know that. So I thank God for that, because we can't spoil these kids, because then they're gonna feel like they're entitled, and when they get out into the real world, that ain't gonna fly, because things are not just gonna fly into your hands. But I thank God that He blessed me with them, because they really have matured me. Have they asked me about sex yet? No, but my oldest son has asked me about what is gay, what does gay mean? I kind of just said, well, instead of, how mommy and daddy are a boy and a girl, it's like if there was a boy and a boy and they were a couple, that's what gay was. But and then he asked me again after I explained, like a while after, and I said, okay, well, we'll just sit down and talk about it. Obviously I want to answer his questions, but I don't want to tell him too much. And then on top of that, he goes to a Pentecostal school. He goes to Christian school, so I don't know what they're up in there telling him about homosexuality, but I'm sure they're not pro. So, and I don't think I'm not uncomfortable with talking to my kids about homosexuality, because it's something that's here, and it's a part of life, it's a part of our lives. So I think it's just sex in general that's kind of always awkward. So I kind of tell a joke, or I try to make it funny. I use my humor to cut through the awkwardness. But I did tell him to ask his dad a lot of stuff, because the pubic hairs start popping, and I'm just like, all right, look, I'm not talk to your dad, because he can explain, changes in your body, and your dad can explain that to you much better than I can. Praise God for dads. Praise God. And I think you should let him, women, if you have a baby daddy or husband, just let him talk to him about that, because we don't know firsthand about that kind of stuff. So just let the man do it. Speaking of firsthand, I am just, sometimes I look at my husband and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's gonna have a period one day. We're gonna have to deal with all that. I'm not ready. I just remember when I got my period, I was 11 years old, and I either told my older sister or my mother, and I probably told both of them. I was just like, no, 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 this can't be happening to me. This can't be happening. And I don't know why I thought it was such a negative thing, but I just didn't want it to happen. Well, maybe I thought it was negative because there's just like blood leaking from your vagina. Maybe that's what it is. So I told my mom, and I remember her calling people, like her sisters and like just random people in the family, and she was telling them about it, and I was so embarrassed. I was like, what? How could you do that to me? And then I remember like cramps. I had the cramps of all cramps. Like I would be bent over the kitchen table in the morning in pain with these cramps. And I wish I had someone who helped me to see it as a positive thing, and as just part of growing into a woman. Like I didn't get all that support that I needed. I think I would have been more comfortable with it, because I remember times just having bad cramps and not even wanting to ask my mother for like a Tylenol or something, because I just didn't want her to know I was on my period for some reason. Like I was just hiding it in shame. And it's nothing to be ashamed about, obviously. It's a natural thing. So I think I'm just gonna do that for my daughter. We're gonna talk about it. She's only six, so I'm gonna give her a few years, and we're gonna talk about it, so when it actually happens, she's mentally prepared for it. I won't be, but at least she'll be. So as the old black mothers would say, treat all your kids the same. Treat them all the same. Love them all the same. For a long time, I thought that's how you did things, treat everybody the same. And that's true to a certain extent, as far as, like treats. If one person gets a treat, they all got to get a treat. That kind of stuff, yes. But every kid is different. I really believe kids will show you how to love them. Each kid needs different things, desires different things, each kid needs affection at different times. Some, you know, one of my youngest son, he's not here for all that hugging and stuff unless he's up for it. So he'll come up to you and, you know, he'll give you a hug. But if you try to just be on him, he'll just be like, you know, back up, give me 50 feet. My daughter, she wants hugs and kisses all the time, all day long. She wants you to pick her up, spin her around. That's just her. And my son, my oldest son, I can hug on him and love on him in the house. But out in public, he's already let me know I'm not allowed to do it. I'm not allowed to hug him or kiss him in public. And I'm not allowed to do baby talk to him in public either. But sometimes I can't help it because they're just so cute. They're just so cute. I can't help it. I just be like, boo, 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 boo. I know. Yes, I know. It's crazy, the baby talk stuff. But, you know, it's just what I do. Okay? I love my kids. So, yes, enough of the love fest. As I was saying, every child is different. They require different things. They need to be loved in certain ways. I know I have to hug on my daughter, hug on her, and kiss on her a little more, because if I tell her I don't want to give her a hug, she'll cry. She will literally cry, walk away crying. And, you know, I tell my husband, like, oh, we have to toughen her up. We really do, because at my age, I was a gangster. I used to walk outside, you know, and like, ain't nothing but a gangsta party. Oh, you want a hug? No, boy, ain't no hugs over here. Oh, she don't like me? Whatever. I don't care. Like, I was that kid. I ain't saying I want her to be like that, and it's not possible because my kids are sheltered. You know, they in the suburbs. They grew up in the suburbs. But, you know, I would like her to get tougher skin, but life will do that to you anyway. And I say this often. No matter how you try to protect your kids, no matter what you shield them from, they're going to have their own burdens to bear. They're going to have their own things. They're going to have their own problems. And you can't do anything about it. That is just the way life works. I try to keep people. I don't have too many people in the house. And I don't really send my kids to stay over anyone's houses. I think right now they stay with their grandmother sometimes. They sleep at her house. Because she's the only one that lives there. Because, I'm just going to say it. The predators that are out there, you don't know who the predator is. But the predators are prevalent. They're out here. They're lurking. It could be your cousin, your uncle, your pastor. You don't know who it is. And I want to believe that my child would come and talk to me if something weird was going on. But would they? Do we have the kind of relationship where they would come and tell me? I pray to God so. I pray it to be so, but yes, I pray over my kids and I pray that God protect them and cover them from all harm all the time. On a lighter note, let's move on from there. We all know those parents who just talk about every and anything in front of their kids. They talk about the dudes they're dating. They talk about just anything. Anything goes. Like, your kids know your whole personal life because you talk on the phone candidly about whatever in front of them. How do y'all feel about that? Do you think that's okay? I'm more of a chance to stay in the child's place. Like, I'll send my kids out the room in a second. Like, all right, grown-up talk, you gotta go. Or this is a grown-up show. You gotta go. I'm kind of on the fence with that kind of stuff because, like I said, I don't go for it, but I don't want to say that's wrong. That's necessarily wrong for somebody else to do it. Plus, you really can't tell anybody about what to do with their kids, like, at all. They might ask you for advice, and you give them advice, but, you know, tread lightly because people get very defensive. They'll ask you for advice. And when you give it to them, they'll get upset with you, like, or she thinks she... So you tread lightly. You tread lightly when you tell people about their children, and tread lightly when you tell people about their man. That's a whole nother podcast right there. Parenting in 2018 is expensive. Oh, my goodness. The school is always asking for money. They always want money for something. This week is cheerleading uniforms. They were selling chocolate. My other son was selling flavored popcorns. I'm like, y'all always want money for something. And out here in Mississippi, it's not as bad as in Houston. Like, Houston, they stay running your pockets. They stay running my pockets for parties. And they want me to sign up for a snack list. And when you sign up to what I'm going to bring to the party. And I'm like, can I just give y'all $5? Because I ain't got time. to be going shopping for this Valentine's Day party. But out here, they have a lot of PTA meetings, and honey, I can't do them all. I haven't been to one yet. I'm embarrassed to say, last year I was PTA mom. I was at every single meeting. I wanted to see what was going on, and I saw what they were really about, and I said, okay, well, you know, I don't really need to be here, because this y'all done had the same meeting four times. Okay, but hold up. I'm gonna chill out, because I'm going to try to participate with the PTA Association. I'm gonna try to get to the next meeting. Like I said, it is expensive. Cheerleading, I have to buy my daughter's cheerleading uniform. They charged me $80 for a uniform. Last year, it was $120, and they probably wore them about four times. And you know, I'm hot. She still got that thing in the room. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Maybe she can be a cheerleader for Halloween. And on top of the school asking for money, thank God they all wear uniforms except the youngest. But you know, you got to buy them a new wardrobe, because yes, you got your uniforms. You don't have to worry about that. But, you know, on your off days, you don't want them to look crazy on the off days. They can't be wearing they can't be wearing their summer clothes in the winter. So every year, you know, they're grown out of them clothes. You got to buy a whole new wardrobe. This year, I'm buying winter coats for everybody, including myself. So, yes, it gets pricey. So I pray that if you are expecting, or if you have children, that you are financially capable of providing for them. Parenting in 2018, the kids, they always sick. And once one of them comes home sick, we all getting sick. I'm just getting over something. You might hear it in my voice, but the little one, I think the little one brought it in here, and it just hit everybody one by one. And if you don't have a lot of time and a lot of energy, this is probably not for you, because it is exhausting. Parenting is exhausting. I try to cook for my kids as much as I can, but some days I'm just like, nah, y'all can have some chicken nuggets, whatever. But I'm telling you, I cook and they like pick over the food I cook. I try to go out of my way to try to make them little recipes and everything, and these kids just are so picky. They just pick over it and they just sit it, and it pisses me off to no end. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm already tired, okay? I could be kicking my feet up, but I'm trying to cook y'all a little meal, a little mealy meal. And this is how y'all do me every time. You pretty much spend the whole day trying to keep them in line, keep them in order, and that is draining in itself. So that will drain you. By the time they go to bed, I'm already drained, and I'm like, man, I still got to clean up. I still need to go get on the treadmill, and I have no energy left for myself, and I'll sit down, and I'll end up falling asleep. Speaking of treadmill, I need to get on the treadmill right now. I just got some running shoes. They are Champion. Yes, I am. You know you were onto when you buy Champion sneakers, but I'm not wearing them anywhere but to work out. So hopefully they don't fall apart on me like the running shoes that I got from Walmart did. And you know what? I haven't been in Walmart in probably about a week, and I'm happy about it. I'm ecstatic, because I can't stand going in there, and I go in there so much because they have everything I need. Here, it's not like a big city. There's two grocery stores I go to. I go to Kroger or I go to Walmart, so there aren't many options around here. And Walmart is just so draining. I really hate going in Walmart. First of all, it's huge. Second of all, you got all people from all walks of life just walking around doing them. And that's cute or whatever, but I don't always want to be around them. Is that bad to say? I wish I could do the Instacart or whatever you call that, where they bring your groceries to your door. Is that bad? But, you know, I'm not the only one that feels that way. Walmart is horrible. Y'all know it is. All right, and let's close out this children topic. I'm going to tell you the best and the worst thing about being a mom, parenting, such and such. Best thing is it just brings you so much joy to watch them grow and to watch how they learn. And you know, I watch them watch me, like my little ones, they learn everything from me and my husband and their siblings. And even times when you think they're not watching what you're doing, they are. And it's just cute to see how they pick up on little things, and watching them laugh and watching them be happy, it makes me happy. It really does. They really do. The unconditional love statement is true because, yes, you love your partner, but, you know, that comes with stipulations. Like, I love you, but if you cheat on me, you know, that kind of thing. Stuff goes out the window, but your children, it's like, it's unconditional. Like, I love you no matter what you do. You could never do anything to me to not make me love you. So now over to the worst part about having kids. There are, you know, it's not bad. It's really not. I talk in jest. The worst thing will probably be the body. Like, they literally twist your body. After you have a kid, it's like somebody blew you up like a cartoon character, sucked all the air out of you, twisted you back up, and, like, kicked you down the street. Like, they really screw up your body. Like, that Coke bottle is like, no, it's a quart now, or like a gallon. Like, and don't get it twisted, I'm cute, but, you know, I'm working on it. I got a few of these pounds I need to drop. Yeah, that's all right. I got a little mom-tum. What do they call it? Mom-tum. But, you know, I earned it. I got three damn kids. What do you expect me to have, a six-pack? It ain't happening over here. And I ain't trying to be no bikini model anyway. So, I mean, that would probably be the downside to it. If that's even a downside. If so. So, if you are a parent, if you are trying to become a parent, if you're trying to get pregnant, God bless you all. I wish you all the best in your endeavors, in your journey, because it's going to be a great one. Thank you for listening today. Again, my voice is so jacked up. I probably sound like I'm half dead, but no, I'm still recovering. I have a inchy-winchy bit of a sore throat, so I apologize for the man voice today. But you know what? I was told I sound sexy, so I'm going to go with that, all right? Sexy voice. But God bless you all. Take care. Thank you for listening. I pray good things over your lives. If you're listening to this, I'm speaking it into existence. I pray good things and blessings over your lives. Check me out on Instagram now, The Avenue ZC. I'll put all this in the description. You can email me at theavenueZC@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Facebook at The Avenue with Zara Chanel. Thank you so much, and take care of yourself. Bye.